Hello and welcome to this episode, and I'm joined by three special guests plus myself, and we've known each other, but we all met up properly at the Black Unicorn event at the Boston Marathon this year, and spoken to Rob afterwards, and he suggested this idea, and I thought we've got to make this happen. I spoke to Rob earlier in the podcast, spoke about his PR at the Boston Marathon and how he got on and just some deeper topics, so it's great to get Phil and CJ involved as well. So since I started with Rob, can you give yourself like a little bit of an introduction?
Hey, it's your boy Rob, RobJack15 on Instagram. I just want to say it's a pleasure being here with you guys. Shout out to my people, my boy Chad, JB, PVT, Coach Matt Ebersole. He's been getting me right. We're loading right now for a big marathon coming up. Hannah and Ned, my training partners. Hannah and I have been grinding it out over the last couple of weeks. I'm excited. We're excited to hit the road together here soon. And then you already know, shout out to the wifey. I appreciate you riding with me.
Phil, you take it away.
What's up, everybody? My name is PK or Philip King, master runner. P King Duck 76 on Instagram, and I'm just hanging out with these fellas right here, man. These are young kids. I'm the old guy of the group.
That sounds like an order of the Chinese menu. I'll have a P King Duck, please. Number 76.
We're about to get canceled. Let me get the P Duck in. Extra soy sauce for me, please.
Actually, that's kind of where it came from, man. In high school, my high school football coach, we was in practice. And my nickname was Duck, so all my friends called me Duck. And then my coach, when he heard that, Peking Duck came to his head. And so ever since that day in practice, it's changed from Duck to Peking Duck.
That's kind of cold, though. It came from the coach, though. Usually it comes from your friends. Fair play to them, anyways.
They jump right on board with it.
All right, CJ, do you want to take it away?
Yo, what's up, Run Fab? CJ Corey Joyner. Follow me on Instagram at CJ the Runner. It's just so great to talk with y'all, be on the podcast. When we met up in Boston, man, it's just like, you know, you'd be reading about your stories and seeing the progression and seeing how, you know, how Black men are in the sport and doing great things or in Boston, running the race, competing in the race. And so it's just inspiring. So I'm happy to be here. Excited to talk about some running with y'all fellas and have some fun on this podcast.
Yeah, so I think it was really cool to see everyone together at the event. I know, Phil, you did a lot of organizing with other people involved with that as well. I think the work you guys did was incredible. So, hats off to you guys. So with that being said, CJ, I'm going to kick this off with you first, and then I'm going to share this question with everyone else. So what's your next marathon, and what's been the biggest hurdle in this training block?
I think I'm right now. I'm the oddball in the group. I think I'm the only one in the group not marathon training at the moment, because my marathon isn't until December, the Honolulu Marathon in Hawaii. So I won't really start marathon training until mid to late September to get ready for that race. So I've been in like this period of a little speed training and just like off season. So I haven't really had to commit to a workout plan. Like I follow my workout plan, but some days I can be like, all right, it's cool. I'm not gonna do that. Or I'm gonna switch it up here or there. So just trying to stay in shape before the actual marathon block comes my way. So I can put in the best effort at Honolulu, even though Honolulu is like Florida, high humidity, hot, starting at 5 a.m. But, you know, you just adjust to the elements. You go out there and you get after it.
We talked a bit earlier about the race start for Honolulu. I mean, just taking into account the weather. But, I mean, putting that to one side, I mean, it's been pretty impressive watching your training, your first sub 5-minute mile. I see you've been putting in the work. So, you've been smashing it.
Yeah, especially like off-season when you're not in marathon training, because typically you're in marathon training, you're not doing so much of the VO2 max and that type of speed work. You're doing the volume and you're doing the longer threshold work to, you know, prepare yourself for the 26.2. So in the off-season, it's an opportunity to work on some speed and to do some of the shorter distance events. And they're fun. Like, you know, I used to dread, like, oh snap, this track workout looks pretty tough, man. Like, you know, 200s, 300s, 400s, and doing those at those paces. But it was a good challenge and a good change up, and a different stimulus to the body. So just to see the progression that I am able to finally break 5 minutes in the mile, and on those workouts, I'm feeling a lot better and a lot more comfortable running at those speeds. So I get you excited. I'm definitely excited about marathon training and seeing where that speed is going to come into play when it's time to really start dialing in marathon pace and the training building up to the race.
Yeah, I think it's really encouraging. And I think even the last year or two, been watching your progress, it's been really good to see. I remember we ran briefly for the first mile, maybe 2 miles in Boston, and you were like, I'm just going to take it easy. And then you were like, I'm just going to pick it up now. And then CJ went, I did see the rest of the race.
Yo, because Boston is like, it's so packed that first couple of miles. It was like ridiculously packed. And it's really hard to open up and to, you know, catch your stride when we started out. But yeah, I was so happy I found you early on. I was trying to find PK, but you said you were in like a corral or two back.
Yeah,
so I was like, all right, maybe I'll see him on the course, which I ended up did. We linked up for a hot second too before I had to go, you know, porta potty gate right before heartbreak. but yeah, I was like, man, let me try and go get this PR. Fell a little short, but you know, it's all good.
That was it was a strong race. So yeah, PK, over to you. Can you talk about what's your next marathon and what's your biggest hurdle in the block?
For me, next marathon is the Chicago Marathon. I got invited into it through the age group world championship. So, because I really don't like doing these fall races, because here in the South, man, it's so hot in the summertime. So for me, the biggest hurdle has been this heat. You know, like yesterday I went out, and for whatever reason, I always seem to find myself trying to run in the middle of the day when it's the hottest. And like yesterday, it was like 100 degrees, and I had to stop, take a couple breaks. People are like, man, you don't need to be running. It's too hot. It's too hot. So right now it's just dealing with the heat. And when you do get a chance to run in the heat, I mean, it's just something you got to constantly remind yourself that your speed, the paces and all this not going to look like what it's going to look like once the temperature is cooler. And even though you know that, it's just it's a mental hurdle in your head, because you're like, man, I got to do this pace for 26.2, and I'm struggling to do it for like 5 miles right now in the heat. So it's kind of like a back and forth. Like you tell yourself, you know, race day is going to be 30, 40 degrees cooler, and this is going to feel like a breeze. So just trying to grind it out, man.
Do you know what? I was going to use like weather as an excuse, but like after listening to the weather where you are, it's not even comparable. So like in London, it's about 25 degrees Celsius. I don't know what it's in Fahrenheit. That must be like 70 something.
Yeah, I'll be watching your posts, and I'll be seeing people with jackets on. I'll be like, man, that ain't fair. It's not fair. They got on jackets, long sleeve shirts, and I'm out here about to die.
Yeah, 77. Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. After listening to like what you were saying, yeah, I'm not even going to complain about the heat where we are, because the humidity where you're training is a joke. Like you're saying, if we don't get up before a certain point in the day, like it's pretty much game over.
Yeah, it's game over. It's game over. But you know, right now, and then I'm not a morning runner, man. You know, I run at night and middle of the day. I hate getting up early in the morning run. So for me, that's just, right now it's just having to be very disciplined, because if you don't hit the morning run, you're just not gonna get to run in for the day. So
yeah, makes a lot of sense,
man. A lot of sense. About Boston with CJ, man. CJ was so CJ was so hyped at that race, man. Like when I saw CJ, he saw me, Phil, come on, man, come on. He was trying to get me to jump corrals, and for a minute I thought about it. I was like, no, I ain't gonna get kicked out the race before the race start. So I was like, I'll catch up with you a little bit later. And I went back to my corral, and I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to run this far back. I said, maybe I'll go back up there and see if I can sneak in. And when I go back up there, at this point, she really looking at your bibs to see what corral you're supposed to be in. So at that point, I ain't even chance it. And I went back to my corral. But I did see that donut singlet, like, right before the, right when we got to the Newton Hills. I saw him, and I caught up with him for a little while. And then he was like, man, I got to go to this porta potty. It probably was all them donuts on that singlet, man. Sent you to that porta potty, man. But I thought that was pretty cool, though, because I did tell him, I said, man, I'll catch up with you a little bit later.
Oh, what, man.
What's the story of the donuts on your singlet?
Yeah, so with Runner's Empire, Zach has been, he's the owner of the apparel company, so he's been creating a little bit more funner singlets with just food on there, and it's been a big hit. So he's done the pizza one, did the pizza one in Chicago, and then dropped the donut one and then a chili pepper one. So they've been fun singlets to, you know, to run in, and they always, you know, always get compliments or people talking about it, like, oh, hey, donut man, oh, whoa, chili pepper man. Yeah, we in Tijuana, Mexico, chili pepper, chili pepper. So, yeah, they're super fun to run in.
I kind of feel like that singlet is like, do you know when you see people wearing white boots for like football or something? Like, you got to be good. Like, you've really made a statement by wearing that top.
You know, you just gotta bring the energy. I think that's the most important thing. You can't wear that singlet and be super serious. You gotta have some fun when you rocking that singlet, man. You gotta, you know, lift some people's spirits. You know, they might be having a bad race, but they see that, they be like, you know what? It's not that bad out here.
true. And Rob, can you take us away with your next marathon?
My next marathon is Berlin next month in September. I mean, to be honest, like, humbly, man, I haven't had a hurdle this block. Like, it's been smooth. Like, it's, I thought when I was training for Boston, I was like, man, this is the best block I ever had. Like, yada, yada, yada. And this one, I'm like, dang, this is the best block I ever had. Like, it's getting better and better. It's getting faster. I mean, yesterday, practice run, I hit almost 25 miles. And it was a 2:35 time. So, I mean, we're cooking over here. We're trying to fine tune some things. But I mean, I guess really it's not really a hurdle. It's just knowing, like, after that hard run on Saturday, going in Sunday, you had that easy run. I'm like, all right, you just hit another 100-mile week. You got to turn the switch back on and start all over again. And I get right back in that cycle, right back in that routine. I would say that might be like the biggest hurdle, just knowing when to flip the switch back on after Saturday, going into Monday for another long week of training. But I'm really happy with my training right now. I've been going really hard because I know after Berlin, I won't be able to put a lot of miles in. But my A race is actually the month after Berlin. So I'm trying to PR back to back and end the season on a high note.
So what's your race after Berlin?
It's the Mayan Mental Marathon here in Indy. That's actually where I first met CJ, actually. So that was actually my first marathon. And I was – the funny thing about that, I was just running that marathon, trained 95% on the treadmill. Looking back at it, my training was horrible. It was god-awful. I was just doing interval training on a treadmill, going as fast as possible. And then on Saturdays, I would run a long run, which was fine. And that was about it. And then I ran out there, ran 2:58, first marathon. And so if I ever have the chance to run the Monumental here in Indy, I like to run it as long as I'm healthy. Plus my coach helps set it up. So I'm usually taken care of as far as like before the race, I can hang out in the elite room. I'm not elite yet, but that's the goal, to be there. But like, I don't have to worry about the porta potty situation out there or standing in the cold. I can walk right out and go to the race line and race. So that's why I'm making that my A race instead of Berlin, because, I mean, you have all that sitting around, things like that at the majors. But Berlin's going to be a fast time. It's going to be a time that I should have got in Boston. I'll say that.
It sounded positive, though. And I was going to ask you with the training, and I don't know, I could be wrong here. With your previous trainings, do you find that you kind of, you're building, like you can see your progress building as opposed to do sometimes have dips and then shoot up again?
As far as like comparing like a training that I did from the last session to this session, is that what you're saying? That's funny
overall,
that you said.
I mean, overall, like, do you know, you sometimes, you know, like you say you're 6 weeks out or 7 weeks out and you're just like, you can tell you're progressing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So in the way my training set up, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays are my money makers. Thursdays, moderate to high quality. Tuesdays, high quality. And then Saturdays, long run. And if it's not a long run, it's at least 16 with a workout inside of it. So, I will say that, like, if I drop the ball on a Tuesday, I'm pretty irritated. Like, this past Tuesday, I had a stomach bug, and I was like, it was a horrible Tuesday. I mean, it wasn't up to my standard. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but, like, if somebody else, that would have been, like, a good workout. That was not – it's not what I do. It wasn't something that I was happy with. So Saturday, I tried to go out there and crush that 25-miler pretty much. And I was like, yeah, I made up for that Tuesday. So, yeah.
Okay, with that being said, I want to move on to marathon day race rituals. Rob, can you let us know, like, what key things do you do, like, that you have to do before you race?
Oh, man, before I race, I have to wake up, go to the gym. I do a little workout. I hit the core. Get the stomach activated so I don't have a body issue with like CJ or anything like that. Knock on wood, I've never had a problem. So I'm going to keep going to the gym before the race. And then after the core, I hit the arms. Got to look good for the pictures. Got to be camera ready, just like CJ. I know that boy finds a way to see the camera every time.
You got to be ready. You got to be ready.
Lit. That's what I'll be telling people on my team. They'll be running with me the first couple miles of the race and they'll be like shaking their head or laughing. I'm like, hey, it's advertisement, baby. You gotta look good. So I mean, I definitely try to find the cameras as much as possible. I think I definitely got that from CJ for running with him and then seeing his Instagram after our first race. I was like, all right, I need to find the camera. So that was cool. I picked up on that. But outside of that, race day rituals, it's really make sure I get my honey and my rice cakes. That's my little cheat code. My teammate Hannah, she talked me into eating a Pop-Tart too. So I ate a Pop-Tart and rice cakes with honey and then some Element, which is electrolyte salt. I drink about two of those for the race. And that's pretty much my own little ritual. It's nothing too crazy, and I just lock in with some music.
Yeah. The question I'm asking is, like, how many crunches do you need to do to avoid the porta potty issue? Like, is there a certain number?
I'm going to start calling Rob David Goggins, man. He going to the gym and doing a workout before he run a marathon. Yeah, that's David Goggins type that's stuff right there, man.
Leg day.
Man, so I wake up, I'll drink 8 ounces of water. It'll get your insides going. And usually when you wake up, you have to use the restroom anyway. But, like, I hold off, and I'll go to the gym. Within, like, 10 minutes, I'm like, yep, I'm already good. I got to go to the bathroom. And then I'll continue because I want to make sure it's all ready to go. So I'll continue do the workout. It's about a little 30-minute workout, 35, and then – I might jog on the treadmill for about
a little.
David Goggins.
I do it. I'm like, man, I just got to. Like, I do it before my long runs on Saturday. Saturday mornings, I wake up. I hit the gym by 4:30, 4:30 to 5:30, stretch and all that too. And then I'm at the practice at 7, ready to run.
And if you watch your stories, you do see that you do this like day in, day out. So like, it's not, you know, this is real life. So,
right. It's real life.
Yeah. It's live action.
Yeah. Rob over there. Stay hard.
It's funny. Cause it was funny yesterday. Cause we was running, we was on the long run and it led into something. I forgot what it was. It was a perfect opportunity. I was like, who's going to carry the boat? And there's like It was like, oh, here you go.
And you had to say that.
And all I could think of was you, Marcus. So I got us a good laugh. I'm the funny guy on the team. Like, I just stuff out there. I just say stuff for people's reactions half the time. I don't even really mean it. I'll be talking about beating the GOAT. Like, in Berlin, I'm going to beat him. Like, I'm not worried about it. So no, he's got to worry about me.
All right, CJ, talk about your race day rituals.
Yeah, great question. Like, typically for a race, like the day before, like, you know, gotta you know, do the flat lay, flat me for good luck. And then also, I do like to have a glass of wine or just a whiskey straight just to take the nerves off. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, you not did all the training, you've been training for months, and you get amped up and get nervous for the race. So for me, I'm like, all right, let me just calm myself down, relax. Like, what happens on race day is going to happen on race day. So I just relax. I eat a lighter dinner because I eat a bigger lunch on race, like the day before the race. So I eat a huge lunch, and I eat a lighter dinner. And then I think in my earlier marathons, you know, it would be a little harder to get to sleep, but now I'm going to bed. Like, I'm knocking out now before the race. But yeah, typically that would be the game plan. Race day morning, just sometimes I try to make it smooth, but sometimes, you know, might hit snooze one too many times. I have to hurry up to the corrals and hurry up to the start. But yeah, other than that, I mean, it's not, you know, glamour is just my flow before the race. No gym. No gym for me. I'm going to do my little stretch, my dynamic warm up, but I'm not in the gym.
So yeah. CJ, to touch base on that early lunch, like dinner. So I did the same thing. So I usually eat like my dinner around, like, I like to get to the restaurant because, I mean, usually on the road or something like that, and you don't really get the food at that time. So I get to the restaurant around 3 o'clock. I like to have like my biggest meal the day before the race around 4 o'clock. Allows me time to digest it and things like that. So that's where I get my pasta and my bread, all that. And then I'll probably be hungry again around 6 o'clock. The rest of the night is just like rice cakes, pretzels, things of that nature. Nothing too crazy. I like to be light the rest of the evening and have my biggest meal early. But my coach and my teammates tell me I need to switch that up, but it just works for me. And I'm going to stick to it until I have a bad race, I guess.
No, I think it makes sense, though, especially from a gut side as well, when you want to get ready for the race the next day. I completely understand that. All right, I'll check that over to Phil. Like, talk us through your race day rituals.
Man, I see now I'm an amateur because I really don't have a lot of race day rituals and stuff. I kind of like freelancing, man. Like, if it's one thing I probably do, if I get a chance, more than not, is like I do like an ice bath that night. And outside of that, man, I try to find me a Cheesecake Factory, something like that. And most of the time, like before the race, I like to have like chicken that night. Chicken, some potatoes, or some mac and cheese, some bread, something like that, carb up. And yeah, like that morning, it's for like a marathon, man. I don't like to be hyped. I like to try to stay calm, stay just super low. Like, I down talk myself. If anything, I'd be like, bro, are you really finna run 26.2 miles? For real? Like, that's what you want to do? And I'd be like, dang, you sure right. You sure right. I'm going to tell you a race where you really get a lock in on how far 26.2 miles is. When you do New York, and you start on the bridge and you looking back and you can see Manhattan across the water and you be like, I got to go all the way over to there plus get all the way to the top by Central Park. Man, that's a long way. So, yeah, so I try to keep myself kind of low, mellow, and then just try to crank it up from there. Like, get the first 6 miles out the way, then you get to 10, and then you can get around 13, and now you can start talking like, let's get it. So I just try to kind of stay calm, man, because I get hyped and get to acting crazy and get pumped up, and then you be burnt out by the 10K.
I think that's a smart move, though, to be honest. Like, you want to save your energy. And by the way, right, you're not calling yourself this, but I'm calling you this. Like, after the London performance, I remember I'm just gonna call you Black Jesus. Oh. Bro, like I passed you and he's cramping up. I was just like, he looks like he's done. He's done. And then it's just like Easter Sunday, it's like bang, Phil's back, and he just like sprinted past me. I didn't see him again at the end. I was like, bro, I thought you were out.
AKA Black Jesus.
Space of a half a mile, but yeah, hey, you found something.
Now see, that's one ritual I will do, like for whatever race. Like I normally will have like a dill pickle. And for my international races, sometimes I don't get to bring one. But I did have one for Tokyo, I think. Because sometimes I forget to pack one in the package. And for London, man, for whatever reason, when I got to like, it started like around 22, you start feeling that cramp coming. And then I just cramped. And I didn't realize I had got, because I saw you before that. And then when I cramped, it was just like, man, I thought it was over. Like I pulled over to the side, but like the people in London, man, they really cheer hard. So when I was on the side, they was like, come on, you can do it. Don't quit. And I was like, nah, it's probably over. So they were like, come on, man, you can do it. So then I tried to start back up. Cramp hit me again. So I'm over there trying to flex it out and everything. Then the next thing I know, I hear Marcus, come on, Phil, let's go. And I don't know how it happened, man. I just started hobbling. And then I hobbled for a little while. Then I was able to stride a little more. Before you know it, I was back. And that's when I saw Marcus again. I was like, let's go, let's go. I made sure not to get all the way on the gas, though, after that. I made sure not to get all the way on the gas. It was kind of like a sputter all the way to the finish line.
Man, you hit the holy water. I don't know what happened. You just like... you went. So, no, it's amazing to see, though. It's actually quite interesting to listen to your rituals, because I've got one. I mean, obviously, you've got the serious procedures, but something I have to do now is like I get my kids to draw on my socks.
Oh, that's dope.
And it's actually become a thing now where like they have to do it. Otherwise, like, I feel like I can't run the race. It sounds ridiculous. Like my daughter is easier to do it. And like for the last race, and like, I had to like literally bribe my son to do it because he just was not feeling it. And you know, like it's an irrational thing. I'm like, bro, you need to draw these damn socks. You need to put something on. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to convince this child, give him a toy and stuff. He's like, no, I don't want to do this game. I don't want to draw this sock. I'm like, damn, son, let's do it.
What job, son?
No, that's really dope, though, bro. Like, that's cool. I actually might have to take that from you, to be honest. I like that idea.
It's a great thing because, like, in your head, because as you guys know, like, especially with, like, I don't want to make it seem like a sacrifice, but you know, there's time away from family and stuff like that. And it's a good reminder to be like, actually, I'm running with my family, even though they're not there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I do. I got one ritual real quick. I just thought about that. It started maybe like 3 years ago. It was during the pandemic or whatever. When I go to the expo, I got to have the J's on the feet, man. I got to have the J's on. That's the ritual right there. Like, Siri, ever since that race, every expo when I go pick up myself, I got to wear Jordan. I got to, man. Because, like, when I went to the expo and I was, like, I was with the Elite. I got in as on the Elite application being a master runner or whatever. And when I went over to the table to get my bib and stuff, the lady was, like, she just, like, looked at me and, like, can I help you? I'm, like, I'm here to pick up my stuff. And it took a minute. Then she's like, oh, okay. So I'm like, okay, I'm wearing these J's. I don't really look like a runner. So here going forward, anytime I go to an expo, I'm wearing J's, jeans.
It was more than the J's.
Yeah, so that's the ritual, man.
I think.
And if it was more than the J's, the J's add to it because I'm going to be 100% at that point, man. I was like, I'm going to be all the way 100% now from going forward. I want to look different from everybody else in here. So I'm going to have my J's on.
It's a good point, though. Like, because if you feel good and you feel comfortable, like pre-race, like it's a good thing going into the race rather than trying to be like too hyped. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I'm the same. Like, I was, had the AJ3s, Black Cements. I think you had.
For Boston?
Yeah.
I had the 12, the Black Texas.
All he do is rock 12s. He be rocking 12s. That's all he wear.
Hey. 12s are my favorite. 12s are my favorite. Probably then 1s, then 3s, and 5s.
It's all about the threes.
Rob, you were going to say something about rituals as well.
Yeah, so I know over the last year, my long runs have been better because I've treated like – so my long runs are at least 99% of the time on Saturday. So Friday, I'm treating it like a race in a way. Like that's the day before the race. And so I know with me, every Friday, I definitely do my stretching, my band work at the gym. And then unlike a lot of other runners, like I'm not carb heavy. So like that's my like Friday. If it was like a race, you'd carb up throughout the week and whatnot. But in general, I don't really do that. So if it's just a regular week, I do like a little mini carb load on like Friday with like, if it's over 20 miles, I'm doing like two big soft pretzels. Or I'm doing like two orders of the Papa John breadsticks, and boys are, they're just so plain. They hit the spot though. So you don't have to worry about anything about the stomach. And then I always eat five grilled chicken tenders every Friday with that and protein shake. That's like my every Friday thing. And then after that, I jump in the ice bath, and I just started adding Epsom salt to that ice bath. So I used to do the Epsom salt bath like hot, but now I do it cold as well, like on top of the ice and everything. I don't know. It could be a placebo effect, but it's been hitting different. And these long runs have been really smacking. Do you guys do anything like as a mini like race day for your Saturday long runs or Sunday long runs?
I'm kind of similar. I do use the Epsom salt baths before, and I use the compression boots, well, probably actually after the run. But sometimes I might use it before to make myself feel better. But yeah, I think similar, like just trying to like make sure I'm doing a similar type meal that I'm going to have the night of the race within reason. Yeah, but let you guys take it away.
Yeah, I'll definitely treat marathon pace effort workouts just like a race day. So, you know, just so that race day, nothing new. You know, the only thing new is that you're in that environment, but running at the pace and working on, you know, all the little things that come with running the marathon, like all of that is worked on in practice. So the night before, getting a good meal, waking up early, doing all the stretches, the dynamic warm up. Unfortunately, Rob, I'm not going to the gym. I'm gonna do it at the hotel. But yeah, just, you know, just trying to simulate it as much as possible. So just make race day a little easier.
Yeah, for me, for like the long runs, it's probably just, I don't really treat it like a race day, man. I just feel like, hey, I need to get out the door and get this done. So I had to trick myself. Like I might throw on something this race day. Like so I might have to pull out the race day shoes or something to get the motivation to get out and do the run. And then once I get out there and get started, I'm just locked in. But like, I don't do all the carb load and none of that for my long runs.
Man, he's so low key, man. We over here high maintenance. He low key. That's why he a master's runner, man. I'm trying to be an old head one day.
See, I told you, Black Jesus, he's just blessed. He's just.
I'm telling you, man. Training,
you do the work though, bro. I think the best. Yeah, you do the work.
Training is just about getting the work in, man. It's like building that grit you're going to need for the marathon. Because in them 26 miles, at some point, something going to happen that's not planned. Like, and you're going to have to improvise. You're going to have to fix it. So I kind of like, I build all my grit during my training run. When I was working with a coach, like he would give us these ridiculous midweek workouts. Speed workouts, and they would be like 17, 18 miles. Sometimes I used to see them paces, and I'd be like, man, how am I going to hit these? And that's when I had to motivate yourself to grab something. But in them workouts, man, that's where you kind of like build that grit to where come marathon day, like whatever happened, you're better to overcome it. So I just freelance it, man. I freelance it.
I think that's a great point. Like you say, you're like, you're building that mental resilience in the training. You can't do something on race day that you've not worked through or seen or experienced in the build up. So I kind of want to move on to the talk that you give yourself before the marathon. And I know, Phil, you did touch upon it a little bit earlier about how you kind of just try to kind of self-regulate and just bring it down. So you're not wasting energy. You're just expending it on the race. And I think that's quite a cool tactic, actually. CJ, can you talk a little bit about like the talk that you give yourself pre-race?
Yeah, for me now, I think it's changed over, you know, over the years, like from, you know, from marathon one to I think I'm on marathon 11 now, 10 or 11. But now more so it's just, you know, just letting the race be the race, like enjoying it. Because even though we're out there for a couple hours, right, running these marathons, it goes by so quick. Like as soon as you start, you finish. just like how fast time goes, and when you're in it, and you know you're running, you're pacing, you're seeing all different things in the cities or the rural area, wherever you run in the race at. So for me, I just try and talk myself, just enjoy every moment of this race. Like enjoy the crowd, enjoy the strategy, enjoy the pain that's gonna come with it, because you're gonna feel some pain. If you're not feeling some pain in marathon, then you a Pokemon. Like you got some, you built different. Because even like running it easy, like I paced and ran easy for a marathon, and I was like, dang, I still cramped up, man. Like, what is this? so like, you know, just enjoy every moment of that. And at the end of the day, like, long as you finish, it's gonna be all right. You know, sometimes it does happen where you can't finish a race. Like you're gonna have to DNF, but as long as you finish, like only 1% of people not ran, when I did 26.2 miles. Like that's an accomplishment in itself. So just go out there and have some fun.
Totally agree. I love that Pokemon line, by the way. I'm gonna check it over to Rob as well. Can you talk a little bit about what you do?
Man, honestly, I just look back at the training, like in my mind, like, man, I didn't want to do it this day, I did it. This day I did that. Even when I didn't want to do it, I didn't hit my times that day, I still did it. Like there's days, like there's no way in training you don't kill everything. And so it's just a lot of going through the motions, checking the box, like PK said earlier. And so when it comes down to a race, I'm like, all right, like I didn't do all that for nothing. And then like with you and I and the kids thing, we talked about kids a lot in our last podcast. Like, I didn't sacrifice time to go out here and be mediocre. So, like, I got to lock in. Like, I'm going to at least give it my all 100% and go from there. I wish I could do it like CJ and have a party every time. But, man, it's like, it's 100% business. Like, CJ can do business and he can party. Like, nah, I can't be doing that because I don't even like running like that. It's a job for me. So, like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to clock in, and I'm going to give it all I got 100% of the time. Maybe down the road, I'm a master's runner, like somebody on here. I'm going to have some fun with it, but I'm going to try to get as many PRs and fast times as possible. So, I'm always telling myself, lock in. You didn't do this for no reason. And sweat your ass off in the summer, things of that nature, 100 mile weeks for no reason. It's time to lock in.
You know, Rob, what ended up happening, because definitely in the same mindset, like first starting out, I'm a PR every race, like I'm going after. What ended up happening with COVID, like I had some races that I had to get deferred, and I went from Indy when we was in Indy to Houston. I had to defer LA, and I was like, I'm not going to race this third marathon in like 3 months. Like this is not happening. So I literally just went out there and party paced, and then it like changed my perspective of going out in races, because typically you go out into a race and you're like, oh, I gotta go out there, I have to race, I have to be in it, like I did all this training. But like just the run culture, the run environment, and just enjoying it, it like I was like, yeah, like, we got to do this more often, because I've had so much more fun this day than any other race. And it's going to keep bringing you back, because you're just going to have a blast out there. So I would encourage a party run for sure. Just do it in a training block. Like, it's your easy long run, and just go out there and party race a race. But then always have your A race. You know, you want to set goals and milestones you want to achieve, but put a party race in your training block.
I do agree with you, because I be seeing your stories. Them boys be looking lit. It be fun. Like, I'm jealous of it, like, in a way. Like, because I'm taking it like so, so serious. I'm not saying you don't take it serious at all. I'm saying like you know how to switch it up. Like you have that that flip. Like you can switch it like that. I haven't found that happy medium yet. Man, I'll be living through you on those party runs. It'd be lit, for real. You need to go live one time and just swim the whole thing out. I'll be tuned in. That'll be my party run for a while.
I got to get a phone that'll last that long. My phone probably would die within the first 10K.
See, I'm probably in the middle of y'all. All that, I don't get too serious. I don't get too, you know, party-ish. I'm not going to do no shots on the course like CJ. I'm not going to do no shots on this. I do some high fives and stuff like that, but I'll say the shots and stuff afterward. But one thing I'm going to say to you, Rob, man, like, it's cool to be locked in and to be focused. And I know you want to accomplish your goals, but sometimes, man, when you running and you so uptight or you so locked in, sometimes that can work against you, man. Cause like, I know when I had a goal, like, the whole reason I even got the boss, my whole goal was to time qualify for New York. And I can remember being locked in and focused. And I came up like, I don't know, like 40 seconds short at the Miami Marathon one year for the half. And I remember just being like destroyed after that. And everybody else was like, man, that's a good time, man. You ran what? And I'm like, man, that I did not hit my goal. And I was like, damn. And maybe like a couple months later, I went out to LA and I ran the Hollywood Half Marathon. And for that race, because it started out with the roads was a little wet, and I was like, this ain't going to be a good day to try to go out and hit that time. And so I kind of like took it a little easier. I was competing. Like, I'm always going to compete. But it wasn't so much that I had a goal locked in. So I ran that race, man, and was just trying to run with the front pack for a little while and just, you know, having fun with it. And then I ran that race like 3 minutes faster than I did in Miami. So after that, I just started taking it like, it's cool to have a goal, but, you know, kind of like loosen up and not be so uptight or so amped up that it kind of really work against you. Cause you, just like they tell sprinters, you know, when you start tensing up, you ain't going to run as fast. You want to stay loose. If you stay loose, you'll be able to flow better. You won't waste energy. And you'll probably end up running a faster time, man.
I see that. I get that. I think my problem is, and it's not really like a problem, I think it's just because like my experience. So I came, like this is only like my second year like really doing this. And like I came on the scene hot in a way, you know. So I like, when I got my first sub-3, my first marathon, my biggest thing was like, oh man, I don't want to wonder. And like, I just kept saying it like, all right, I don't want this to be a fluke, this and that. I want to gain respect in the game. And I think I've just carried that with me the whole time. Like, oh, I don't want to fall off. Don't want no fluke, stuff like that. Even though like I have performances now that back it up. Like I should be able to loosen up. I think the most loose I ever been, I had a last chance BQ last year in Michigan, and it was like, it was before Chicago, which was my A race, and like I was super loose. Like, it got to the point, like I'm talking to my wife, like she's like, are you nervous? I'm like, no, I'm not nervous. Like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, I don't even know if it's whatever. I'm about to just go out here and run. Like, I was super loose. I finished that race with like a 2:46, but I turned it off the last like 5 miles. Like, that was a game plan from coach and I, like, just turn it off because we want to give it all we want in Chicago. And like that day, everything was just clicking. I was running with a smile the whole time. Like, it was a smooth day. And that's what I refer back to, like when you were saying stay loose. Like, the whole time she's like, man, you don't feel like, it doesn't even seem like a race is coming up for you. Like, usually you act a little different. I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna bomb this race or what, because I'm not getting any race day vibes or energy. I was just chill.
You don't really need that for the marathon. That's kind of like how Boston, you was talking about your training and this and that. And I'm like, man, you gonna kill Boston. I like, you think you ain't 100%, but like the training is what's gonna get you to that finish line. So even though you saying, hey man, I wish I was in, you know, feeling like I was before this race or that race, but like I was telling you, like for a marathon, it happens over time. So even though you didn't feel like 100% of what you was when you ran Chicago, I mean, you had way more training on your legs. And the biggest thing was to get back healthy. And then you go to Boston and you PR. So,
yeah,
you just got to let it flow, man. Let the trainer do the work. And
knock on wood, I got about a month left before Berlin. And it's like, I haven't ran a race healthy this whole season, really. Every race I've ran this season, even though it was PRs in every distance, like, it's not been healthy. Like, if I get to the finish line healthy, I mean, starting line healthy, I'm going to be super excited. Like, just think about the potential and not having to be like, oh, I would have got this time if I was healthy or this and that. When people ask me about the race, like, I could have done better. Like, whatever I get in Berlin, it's what I get. And I'll be – it's a solid time that I can own. I'll own it and go with it. I don't want to have to say, well, if this and that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think it's super interesting, like, where the conversation is going, in the sense of, you know, we're all focused, but it's like talking about where that line is between being competitive with ourselves and going for our goals, but also having fun with it. And being fun doesn't mean you take it less serious. Mm-hmm. So I think you guys all like put some great points in there. And I think with that being said, I'm going to wrap up this first episode and come back to you guys. I'm going to chat a little bit more about some other things that are pretty key to our training, and, you know, hopefully you guys enjoy it. So, no, thank you guys for joining in this first episode.
Cool, man. Cool.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for having us, man. I look forward to the next time.